McDivitt, Scott, Schweikart. Stafford, Young, Cernan. Armstrong, Collins, Aldrin. Conrad, Gordon, and Bean. These were the spacemen of 1969, the men of Apollo, the men who made final preparations and those who actually carried out the first manned moon landings. Coming up, some highlights of the past year's accomplishments. NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, presents a special report, 1969, the year of Apollo. 1969 was the year of four manned Apollo spaceflights. Two teams of men successfully carried out moon landing assignments. They were preceded by two more teams who conducted final homework tasks in Earth orbit and in moon orbit, paving the way for the ultimate landing missions.
Well, each flight in our Apollo series this year fed into the succeeding flight and was based on our prior experiences.
Dr. Rocco A. Patron is director of NASA's Apollo program. He explained that the year's first flight, Apollo 9, was an Earth orbital mission. The astronauts were to carry the full complement of Apollo components into space for the first time, including the four-legged LEM, or lunar module.
We have ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engines running. Commit. Liftoff. We have liftoff at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Apollo 9, you are go all the way. Everything looks good.
Roger.
I consider the Apollo 9 flight, which was commanded by Jim McDivitt and his crew with Dave Scott and Rusty Schweikert, one of the toughest flights we'll ever make in manned spaceflight. Literally, they were the first to take the LEM up and man it. And then this had to be done in an Earth orbit environment rather than lunar orbit, and it's quite different working in Earth orbit. And I consider the results of that flight just outstanding. We proved the feasibility and, you might say, the manability of the LEM. We were able to do our docking, our rendezvous, proved out all our techniques to our satisfaction, and man-rated the LEM with that flight.
In manning the lunar module, nicknamed Spider, for the first time, McDivitt and Schweikart in the LEM separated from Dave Scott, a maneuver which was essential to lunar missions.
Hey, Dave, we're at 49 miles and we can still see you. Hey, that's pretty good.
And returned to dock once more with the command module, nicknamed Gumdrop.
Good show, Spider.
Well, it's a very nice docking. That wasn't a docking, that was an eye test. Hey, Houston, we're locked up.
Well, it sounds like you passed it 2010, Jim. That sounded real beautiful. Good show.
Again, I consider Apollo 9 an unsung hero of our total Apollo program because of all it proved and all it did with very, very complex hardware for the first time.
Apollo program director Rocco Patron continued that the next major hurdle in May was the flight of Apollo 10 by astronauts Tom Stafford, John Young, and Gene Cernan. This was the flight of Snoopy and Charlie Brown, Snoopy being the nickname for the lunar module.
There we took this hardware that had been proven out in Earth orbit on Apollo 9, took it all the way to the moon, went into orbital operations around the moon, separated the LEM from the command module, and then made a low-level pass, low-level here being a 10-mile pass over the landing site.
Oh, Houston, Houston, this is Snoopy.
Right, Snoop, go ahead.
It's going. We is down among them, Charlie.
Roger, I hear you weaving your way up the freeway. Can you give me a post-burn report, over?
Yeah, as soon as I get my breath.
Stafford and Cernan, inside Snoopy, were passing within 10 miles of the lunar surface. The next critical test was to separate from the bottom stage of Snoopy and fire the ascent engine to simulate a liftoff from the surface before their subsequent rendezvous with John Young in the command ship.
Master armor's on, engine arm, ascent, axe control, and auto dead band man, and we're set for this attitude on a burn. I'm counting down on 500. Okay, baby. 8, 7, 6, 5, 99, 3, 2, 1, burn. Burning? Okay. 160 to go.
Roger, Snoop, you're burning.
134 to go.
You're burning.
100 to go. 78 to go. 50 to go. 20 to go. Stand by, Tom. Okay, I'll null them out. Oh, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Charlie Brown, Houston, he got the burn off. We're in good shape.
Following successful rendezvous with John Young and a safe return home to Earth, Apollo 10 Commander Tom Stafford assessed the readiness of man to now proceed with an actual landing.
I don't see any constraint from the knowledge we've gained on our mission to go land on 11, so I'd say we're going to go.
Apollo Program Director Patron emphasized the significance of Apollo 10's full dress rehearsal around the moon.
Here again, we proved techniques, timelines, the exact way to fit the pieces of the puzzle together, so that when we came upon our actual landing mission, the only part that was new was that from 10 miles down. Now, I say only, knowing it was, of course, the greatest unknown we had. But the 9 and 10 crew, before the flight of Apollo 11, gave us the basic building blocks upon which to build the Apollo 11 mission.
Apollo 11, man's first moon landing. The astronauts were Armstrong and Aldrin, who made the landing, and Mike Collins, who served as a lunar orbit watchdog inside the command module. Launch was in July, July 16th, followed with a now familiar translunar injection and coast, lunar orbit insertion, and finally on July 20th, a go for landing.
30 seconds.
Forward. Back right. Okay, engine stop. APA at a descent.
Auto
descent. Control both auto descent, engine command override off. Engine arm off. 413 is in.
We copy you down, Eagle.
Houston, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
Roger, Tranquility. We copy you on the ground. You got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. We're breathing again. Thanks a lot.
Next came historic words as man first set foot upon the moon. The spokesman, Neil Armstrong.
I'm going to step off the limb now. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
The Apollo 11 explorers would plant the American flag, speak to the president, deploy scientific instruments, and gather soil and surface samples from Tranquility Base. Then came the tense moment of liftoff. Following the successful return of Apollo 11 to Earth, spacecraft commander Neil Armstrong pretty well summed up what the flight was all about. He spoke to Congress and to the people.
The plaque on the Eagle summarized our hopes and bore the message, "Here men from planet Earth first set foot upon the moon, July 1969 A.D. We came in peace for all mankind." The next 20 centuries, the age of Aquarius, the age for which our young people have such high hopes, humanity may begin to understand its most baffling mystery. Where are we going? Responding to challenge is one of democracy's great strengths, and our successes in space lead us to hope that this strength can be used in the next decade in the solution of many of our planet's problems. We thank you, on behalf of all the men of Apollo, for giving us the privilege in serving for all mankind.
Apollo 11 was not the last time men would visit the surface of the moon in 1969. In November would come Apollo 12, its destination, the lunar ocean of storms. Again, Apollo Program Director, Rocco Patron.
Apollo 12, which is commanded by Pete Conrad, with Dick Gordon and Alan Bean and his crew, did an outstanding job of November of opening up what I consider the lunar exploration phase of our program. In Apollo 12, the returns for science was the true name of the game. It was the reason for going to the moon. With Levin, we had proved we could land. We could do useful work. Now, we had to exploit that.
After surmounting difficulties during their rainy launch, electrical difficulties resulting from an apparent strike by lightning, the Apollo 12 astronauts proceeded flawlessly toward their lunar landing goal.
Low level, 42 feet, coming down at 3. Coming down at 2, okay. Start the clock. 42 feet coming down at 2. 40 coming down at 2. Looking good. Watch the left. 31, 32, 30 feet. Coming down at 2 feet. You got plenty of gas. Plenty of gas, dude. Hang in there.
30 seconds.
18 feet coming down at 2. He's got it made. Come on in there. 24 feet. Contact light.
Roger. Copy contact.
Rock. Pro. Yeah, pro. Okay. Take the arm off. Okay. I'll cycle these valves. You got your spin engine command override off.
Yep.
Okie dokie. I'll cycle the main shutoff valve.
Okay.
Hey, outstanding, man. After I'm on, beautiful. Okay, we're in hot shape, Houston. We're in real good shape.
With Dick Gordon circling overhead, Pete Conrad and Alan Bean began their scientific workload on the moon's ocean of storms. As planned, they touched down close to an unmanned surveyor spacecraft, which had been landed by remote control in 1967. During the first of two periods of service activity, Pete Conrad became the third man to set foot on the moon.
Down to the pit. Man, that may have been a small one for Neil, but that's a long one for me.
Conrad and Bean proceeded to deploy five geophysical experiments onto the surface during their first 3.5-hour extravehicular activity. They gathered surface samples as well. Because of a TV camera failure, viewers on Earth saw only the first minutes of this EVA. During the second period outside, Conrad and Bean paid a visit to the surveyor, making these initial comments.
Beautiful, beautiful sight. No, this one's brown, and I don't remember ever seeing brown there at the Cape. Kind of a light tan, or maybe that's the way it changed color. What color was this one? Houston white? What started out?
That's all white. The equipment bays and the primary structure was all painted with a white paint.
Having retrieved a number of parts from the surveyor, including the TV camera and mechanical scoop, Conrad and Bean returned to their landing craft, soon to bring surveyor parts, mountains of photographs, and over 70 pounds of sample material back to waiting scientists here on Earth. Mission accomplished, including a pinpoint landing, deployment of valuable instruments onto the surface, and proving man's capability to operate effectively in the lunar environment. In light of future manned moon landing assignments, including three missions scheduled during the coming year, Apollo Program Director Rocco Patrone summed up activities during the past year like this.
The year of 1969 was the year of fulfillment for Apollo. A goal established in 1961 to land an American safely on the moon and return him to Earth was fulfilled in 1969. It was a goal that we strived for 8 years. It was a goal, as we headed in that direction, at times appeared quite elusive, yet the support we got from the Congress, from the administrations, and from the people allowed us to continue down that path to where we demonstrated that there is no impossible goal. So I look upon the year of 1969 as a great year of fulfillment of the many promises we made and the great year of fulfillment of the returns of man opening up the universe to his exploration.
Apollo Program Director, Dr. Rocco A. Patrone. And highlights of the past year for man on the moon. 1969, the year of Apollo. NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, has presented a special report, 1969, the year of Apollo. This is Willard Scott speaking.